Luke chapter 19. Did you know I used to preach with your grandfather? You didn't know that, did you? Luke chapter 19, and the message today is the days of the years of our life. And we'll hear about it as we read. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. We're familiar with Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree, our Lord going to his home, and this is what he said in verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, to Zacchaeus, today is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. In chapter 23, you remember the thieves on the cross, one of them beseeches our Lord to remember him when he came in his kingdom. And in verse 43, our Savior says, and he said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, Genesis 47, verse 7. Some boys and girls are ashamed of their parents at times, especially if they have to introduce them to important people. So here is Joseph introducing his father to the greatest man, humanly speaking, in the world. Verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Notice again and again, the days of the years of my life. Now, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. Thy bars shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto God, O Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens for thy help, and in his excellency on the skies, the eternal God is thy dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are glad that the things that fill our hearts, that would make us look around and try to understand the world in which we find ourselves, all of these things, the answers are found to them in the Word of God. Let us know that some find out the answers early in life, and some ever so late in life. We pray today, our Father, from the scriptures that we have read and the others that shall be brought to our attention in thy will, that we shall learn about the days, the years of our life, and understand these words as you would have us to understand them, our Father. So we pray that you shall bless us this morning by thy Spirit, empower the lips of him who speaks, and prepare the hearts of those who listen, and glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and be cleansed from all unrighteousness, as you have promised to do. And we commit all into thy hands, asking thy blessing, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A remarkable thing that the question would be asked when you come in before the most important man in the world, he looks at you and says, "How old are you?" I wonder if you ladies would have told him how old you are. But I gave you the King James translation in the first instance because, of all things, the new version, like the NIV, usually interpret things for you. But in this instance, the King James interpreted things for us because it literally says, when Pharaoh asked him, he said, "How many are the days of the years of thy life?" And then later, the same words that were translated, "How old are you?" they're translated that way, and there should have been consistency throughout. But they are starting words because they sum up what the life of every human being actually is. Your life consists of the days of the years of your life. You see, life is made up of days, which added up make up our years, which added up make up our life. And then, as we had read to us this morning, 60 years and 10, or if by reason of strength, 80 years, yet is there pride, but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. So, the days and the years and the life are not the same for everyone, but are different. Because Jacob, in relating how old he was, made comment on his age. He knew how old he was. But in telling Pharaoh how old he was, he compared his life with the life of his father and his grandfather, and he commented on it. And I never cease to laugh when an obscure man in the eyes of the world comes in to the most important man in the world, and in telling him how old he is, gives this comment. He says, "I'm 130 years old, he said, "but I'm not as old as my father or grandfather, and the days that I've lived on earth, they've been few and they've been evil." Who can imagine someone speaking words like that to Pharaoh, king of Egypt? But it was what was on Jacob's mind, and when you get old, certain things come into your mind. And when people ask you, beware, at times you may give them an answer. And so Jacob was thinking about his life in comparison to the life of his father and grandfather. And then he told Pharaoh, he gave a little commentary on a comparison of his life with those of his father's. Now, I wonder if you've ever done that. I have. Because in my lifetime, some in my family have died young, some a little older, some a little older still. And so when I think of those in the past who died at a young age, I can remember my sister died when she was 40 years old. And I was 8 years younger. But then when I got to be 41 years old, I said, I lived longer than my sister. And my father died when he was 55 years old. And so when I reached 56, I said, I lived longer than my father. And then my grandfather lived to be 65. And when I got to 66, I said, I lived longer than my grandfather. And my mother lived to be 71. And in this instance, when I was 71, and a day older than she was, I said, I've lived to be older than my mother. Now, I could keep on. But I have some in my family that lived to the late 70s, and my great-grandmother lived to be almost 90 years old. So I don't know if I'll ever attain unto the years of the days of my ancestors. But that is what Jacob was thinking about. He was thinking about his life, and he was thinking about a comparison of his age with that of his father's, And then he thought about the life that he lived, and then he thought he was going to die. But he lived 17 more years, and what is so interesting about this family, they're thinking about their age, and Isaac told his son Esau, he said, "Son, I'm an old man, and the day of my death is at hand. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live." And he lived 43 more years. But he got some venison that way. So some of us start thinking, and it runs in the family. It tells us about Abraham when he was 75 years old, when he was 86, when he was 99, when he was 100, then when he was 175 years old. So what Jacob is doing is thinking about the days of the years of his life. And he's thinking about his life coming to an end, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to think about the days of the years of our life. Now, tell me, how many more days is God going to give you? When you're young, you never think about dying. But the Bible says this, "Remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And so the days of your youth, you are to think about your old age, because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And as a young man, I thought about that. I said, someday I'm going to die, and I'm going to be judged before God. I'm going to get this matter settled now. And I did when I was 19 years old. And so that took care of the greatest responsibility in life, that when I was to die and was to meet my Creator, to stand before Him in judgment, all would be well because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of you, in all the days that you have lived, you have never remembered your Creator. And these days have turned into years, and these years have added up, and now it's almost the end of your life. You say, you're talking about 70 and 10 years, 70 or 80 years of age. No, because you do not know how many days and years God has given you to make up your life. Nobody knows the day of his death. And this is what it says in Ecclesiastes. There were so many verses I wanted to bring to your attention. What do you think of this when a man would look at you and say, "The day of a man's death is better than the day of his birth"? What would you think of that statement? But that's what a wise king said, that the day of death is better than the day of life. And I cannot tell you about that now. That is a message in itself. But he speaks about the day of birth and the day of death. And so I want you to think a little bit about this day, because everyone who has existence has lived some days. And for that reason, the Bible speaks about the day of your birth. None of us know about that day. We have been told about that day. And if some of the things we were told were not complimentary, well, we can change them when our parents die and tell them about the good thing, the days of our birth. But the sad thing is this. The next is not the day of our birth, but our birthday, when we think a few years later about how long we've been in the world. And then, just as Jacob made a comment about his life, so others make comments about their life. And I'm wondering, if I spoke to you seriously about the days of the years of your life, would you tell me the truth about it, as Jacob told Pharaoh the truth about it? And at the same time, have you ever come to the place in life when you thought about the day of your birth the way that Job did? The way that Jeremiah did. Listen to what Job says when he thinks about the day of his birth after the calamities of God have fallen upon him through the instrumentality of Satan. finally, after the length of silence, Job speaks, and he says, "Cursed be the day of my birth, and cursed be the man that came and announced that a man-child is born into the world." You say, well, that is an exception. Jeremiah says, "Cursed be the day of my birth." And so some people, after they have lived a while, think over their life, and they curse the day that they were born. Has life been so unkind to you that you are ready to say that? Now, the ones that I mentioned are not the lost, but they are devoted servants of God. Now, I'm thinking, I would never say that. However, if God had blessed me with 10 children, with wealth, and in a day, all my wealth and all my children were taken away, and I look back over all the good days that God had given me, and then the calamitous 2 days in my life, I'm liable to say to Job, "Cursed be the day that I was born." If I had to serve God and experience the treatment that Jeremiah experienced, I may have said, "Cursed be the day that I was born." But I'm so thankful. In my lifetime, I never remember being sick until I was 67 years old, and then I got over that, and then I was sick a little more, and I've gotten almost over that. And if I had to comment now about the days of the years to my birthday, I would not say, "Cursed be the day of my birth." I would say, "Bless God for the day of my birth." And I can seriously say this, that apart from salvation, that God has brought me into existence and given me senses that I can look at His creation, I have rejoiced in God's creation and the ability that He has given me to look at it and to appreciate it. The Lord Jesus said this, "Behold the lilies of the field. I've looked at the beautiful creation of God in the flowers and in the trees and in the life that exists about us. And I've seen it, and I've blessed God for it." And the Savior said, "Consider the birds of the air." And I've considered those creations, God, and blessed God for it. And David said, "When I consider the heavens which thou hast made, the sun and the moon which thou hast ordained, I've considered those things, and I've blessed God." And I believe I can honestly say this, if God had made us so that we were as animals that live and die, and that is the end, I could thank God right now for permitting me to consider His creation and the glory of it, and to cause my heart to go out to my Maker, to marvel at His ability, His wisdom, His beauty. God has made everything beautiful in its day. And so some people curse the day of their birth, and some people bless God for the day of their birth. And the thing that is so startling is this, that there is one man that the Lord Jesus tells us about that may justifiably have cursed the day of his birth, Judas Iscariot. At Last Supper, he tells about what is going to happen, the betrayer. And then he says concerning the Lord Jesus says concerning Judas Iscariot, "The Son of Man is betrayed, even as is written of him. But woe unto that man through whom he is betrayed. It were good for that man if he had never been born." And these are the words of the Son of God. You say, well, I'm not Judas Iscariot. No. But Peter tells us this about some of you who come to church and have the great privilege of hearing the light of heaven spoken, entering into your soul, the truth of God's salvation. And this is what Peter says concerning some who have been illumined and have temporarily gone on in the light of God's grace, and then they have turned away from it like the dog returning to his vomit. Peter says, it is better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn back again. And so, you who are here, I want you to know this, that if you have known about Jesus Christ and have gone along superficially, but then you have decided to give it all up, Peter says this, it's better for you never to have known than to know and turn back from it. And some wise person will say, well then, why did God let me learn about it? You see, you criticize God because he let you learn about it, and then you went back and you say, it's better off. It would have been better had God never let me learn about it. Do you know what you would say if God had said, well, I'll treat you that way. When you sit before God, you would say to him, why didn't you ever tell me about this thing, do you see? And once he tells you about it, and you look it over and take it for a while and then cast it aside, you say to him, well, it would have been better for me not to have known. But you know what you're going to say when you stand before God with all your strong reason? You're going to say the same thing that that man did that came into the wedding feast without a garment. And the Lord said to him, how is it that you came in here without a garment? And he didn't open his mouth. And so there's no reason for any man to curse the day of his birth, because there was another man who was born. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and let me tell you, this is so interesting, it mentions our Savior's birthday, and it mentions only two more with the word birthday in the Bible, and that is Pharaoh and his birthday, and Herod and his birthday. And in the case of Pharaoh, it was a good thing that he had a birthday, because when he celebrated, it all worked out that Joseph, who was in prison, was brought out of prison and ultimately sat at the right hand of Pharaoh, ruler of the world. But in the case of Herod, it was a sad thing that he had a birthday, because Salome danced and he rashly offered her the half of his kingdom, and he had to give her the head of John the Baptist. And that was a birthday that was destructive to the man. But the Bible mentions birthdays. But concerning the Lord Jesus and his birthday, because he was born, it never has to be said, cursed be the day that I was born. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. The Lord Jesus said, I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The Lord Jesus came as the Savior of the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And now, concerning certain days, the Bible speaks of the day of gladness, and it speaks of the day of trouble. But certainly, the day of gladness is the day when Jesus Christ was born. And that is the message that was given. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, for there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so the birthday of Jesus Christ is the greatest day that man has ever celebrated. Yes, he had to die and be raised from the dead, but the fact that God gave his Son, that the Word who was with God and was God became flesh and dwelt among us, and then he went and died for the cross, died on the cross for your sins. Then one birthday that we can celebrate is that of Jesus Christ. And then what God wants us to do is to have a birthday, a spiritual birthday, that we can celebrate, so that in our life there is one day of gladness above every other day. When you think of some who would tell you about their days of gladness, and the rich man in Luke 16 could tell you about days of gladness. It says he fared sumptuously every day. He dressed gorgeously. Life was nothing but one celebration after another. But it says he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now let me tell you about his life. Listen. The days of the years of his life. And so, this rich man has come to that point, his life. He lived a certain way. The days of the years of his life ran out, and he died. And when he's talking to his father, Abraham, his father Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things." And so that's all that your days are going to be. You're going to have good things in this life, and then he who has everything is in hell and he wants a drop of water, and that is denying. And so, son, in your lifetime, you receive your good things. And so life never has to be that way to any man. It says in Matthew 18, "It is not the thing willed of your Father that one of these little ones perish. God is not willing that any should perish." And God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And it says God is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. And what God has done is to send his Son and to make your day, one day in your life, a day of gladness, like that day of gladness in the case of Zacchaeus, is for you to believe. That's all it takes. Because the Bible says, "He that has the Son has life." And God gave his Son. And you receive the Son. You believe in the Son. And then he is yours. And if you have the Son, you have life. And that is the most joyful day that you will ever experience in your life. Not a promotion that you receive, not a victory that you win, not even the day that you were joined to the wife that you love, but the day when you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the greatest day, because your past is forgiven. And this, listen to what the Savior says to the man in Luke 23, the man whose life had been a life of sin. In his extremity, said to the Lord Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And the Savior said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, think of that day. Have you that assurance from the Lord Jesus that your sins are forgiven? Because there are some days that our sins are forgiven, and then there is that final day. And the most important thing for you to know in that day is you shall be with the Lord Jesus in paradise. That's why I read to you in Luke chapter 19. The Savior said concerning one day, he said to Zacchaeus, "Today is salvation come to this house." He said to that man that was let down into his midst by four friends, he said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." The sins being forgiven one day is the greatest day, the most joyful day, for the man realizes it's not that has ever occurred in his life. And that makes up his days for this reason. The Bible speaks about the days of the years of your life. And your days turn into years, and years go on. But thank God, in one of those years, and it was my 19th year, that day was when I trusted Jesus Christ, the Savior. And then, the various things that are written in the Bible, they're changed, and good things are written in the Bible concerning you. I will mention horrible things. It says in Psalm 55, "The wicked live not out half their days." God has days for you to live. He has days of joy and gladness for you to live. But if you remain in your sins, the Savior said, "You shall die in your sins, and the wicked live not out half their days." But if you trust Christ as Savior, that is why I had read to you, and I read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 23. He says, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And he says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And so you have arms that support you your whole life long while you're in this world. And when you die, it says this, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." All that you need to accomplish the will of God for your life, it is yours. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And God will support you until the days of the years of your life terminate. And when that happens, then your life is gone. So this is the exhortation. It says, "Teach us to apply our hearts to wisdom." So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. And it literally says this. So teach us to number our days, that our heart may come to and arrive at an understanding of wisdom. And that's what God is having you to do now, teaching you to number your days. Because how long can you live? Look, Jacob lived 130 years. His father lived 180 years. His grandfather 175 years. But God says, your years may be 70, 80 years, but you're going to die. And God says, so teach us to number our days, that we may cause our hearts to come to a knowledge and understanding of wisdom. And that knowledge is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So trust Him as Savior. And then let God have good things to say about you like this. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A fitting end to the days of the years of our life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you teach us. You teach us innately, and then you teach us by the heavens and your creation, and you teach us by the Word of God. We are thankful, Father, that you sent your Son, and you've left a record about the purpose of his coming into the world. We are thankful that you thought about us. Our God, we who are able to think now can consider the days of the years of our life up until now, but our God, thou dost know whether we would curse it or we would bless it. But we are thankful that we can think, and we do not have to realize that our life is going to be one of vanity and emptiness, but we can have a life of joy and assurance if we trust Christ as Savior. So may that be our experience this day. And all the days and years that have passed, may this be the day when we say, Father, this is going to be a day of gladness because I'm going to trust your Son as Savior. Bless us to that end, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.